This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Second hour of Upstate Outdoors is on tap for you. Lining up the second hour of the show, Springer's going to bring us to Roadkill Cafe, and he's going to be nice while he does it because we got him under observation by law enforcement currently.
That's right.
With our buddy and friend, Mrs. Green Jeans, Sergeant Amy Staten. She's going to stay in the studio with us today during the second hour. And we'll also talk a little bit about the courtesy boat inspections, which if you're going to get those, there's a couple places to get them now. But, man, sound like DNR's got a lot on their plate.
Yes, we are. This is a very, very busy, busy weekend for us.
Yeah, she was telling us earlier about DNR. A lot of people don't realize this is, I mean, DNR is law enforcement, right?
Period.
Yep.
Okay, and not just for squirrels, for regular folks too.
Right.
We can enforce all state laws.
So a lot of times you guys get tapped for, you know, situations like you were talking about the bridge that's out down in Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bike week at Myrtle Beach.
And wow.
Yeah, because these big events are drawing large crowds. And, you know, even with the Highway Patrol, with Myrtle Beach, with Horry County, you're still way outnumbered.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to have as many bodies down there as possible in case a catastrophe breaks out, or with the wrecks and different situations to try to keep peace among large groups of people.
Right.
And then, you know, with the rain, the pending rain can also push people inside.
Yeah.
And then you have problems inside the hotels and stuff too.
So
wow.
It's it can be a mess. It can be a mess. But
well, speaking of a mess. He's cooking up a mess of fish. That's what I was trying to say.
See, if I cook you up anything else again, you goober.
What?
Hey, guys and gals and brothers and sisters of the great outdoors and all those that are taking care of the people out there in the green uniforms and the police officers, Springer salutes you. If you're going to chase me, give me at least four. What is that?
Give me
something?
Three steps.
And you won't see this boy no more, okay?
Good song.
All right. We're going to do Springer's famous baked fish, all right? Now, this can go saltwater, freshwater. It doesn't matter. I mean, heck, you can even get them out of your aquarium in your house, and as long as you fillet them and take the skin off of them, and it's all good. And it is pretty easy. It's fairly easy, and it's not like frying fish where you got to stay on top of it all the time. So you need 2 to 3 pounds of fish fillets, fresh or saltwater, skin off, bloodline removed. Some Mrs. Dash and original seasoning, 1 16-ounce bottle of Italian dressing, salt and pepper to your liking, and 1 12-ounce beer. Get you some. Place the fillets in 2 medium-sized aluminum pans, and I use the disposable ones you can get at either Ingles or wherever. Add the Italian dressing, the Mrs. Dash, salt and pepper, and the beer so that it's covered about 1/4 inch, you know? Not completely covered, but it's got about 1/4 inch buildup on around the bottom. At this point, the fish should be mostly covered with the dressing and beer, like I said. And then I take a piece of aluminum foil that's big enough to lay over both of the pans, because, you know, this is going to feed 6 adults, so it takes me 2 of those smaller pans. And it's easier for me to work with it on the surface of the grill than 2 smaller pans without the real big one. All right, and I put the aluminum foil, kind of lay it over the top. Don't seal it, because you want it to kind of, you know, the heat and the steam to come out of it. All right, and then you're going to bake the fish on medium-high for about 35 minutes. When the dressing and beer start to bubble, you want to check that. And you don't want it to dry out, because you're going to have all kind of, your fish is going to fall completely apart and it'll start burning. All right, and if you need to add more liquid, whether it be dressing, beer, or even water at that time, please do that. And don't let it evaporate and dry out. After about a total of 40 minutes, check the fish, and it should be real good and flaky and got a great aroma coming from it. And then I remove it from the grill and I let it set for about 10 to 15 minutes. And man, this stuff is good. A lot of people are weight conscious. They don't like the grease. They don't like the batter. They don't like fried. Man, you can fix any fish that swims fresh or salt water like this. I've done it for, good Lord, as long as I've been able to cook without burning the kitchen down, which is quite a long time now. It didn't take me too long to master. You don't burn but one kitchen up and you master it, okay? Or the back porch, you know. But alcohol may have been involved there. But it's a great dish, and it's on our website. Check it out. It's so, so easy and so simple and really, really good. So get you some.
What do you call that?
I call it baked on the fish grill.
Springer's baked on the fish grill.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people, and I might would do something different, Philip, if I had one of those new things you can put on your grill now, like they're made out of copper or plastic, to where it's so I'm not worried about the fish laying, you know, I need to keep the moisture. A lot of people like to cook fish on the grill like that with the skin on, and or maybe on a plank board.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this because it keeps the fish moist. I'm able to keep that fish moist to where it does not dry out. Worst thing in the world to do is cook a fish to where it's so dried out, it's just, you know, not good. This keeps the moisture and the flavors in the fish. And, man, you can throw some lemon slices in there and just, oh, it's just killer, dude.
You could get one of those cedar plank boards,
yeah,
and cut a couple of them and some finish nails and make you a little box out of it to hold your beer and your dressing in there. And then you wouldn't have to flip it at all.
I know. And see, with the two smaller, the smaller aluminum disposable, as the heat, you know, is, you know, and it's the fish are cooking, I'm able to kind of shift those around, you know, which side's cooking a little more, and I just kind of shuffle them around. I play hokey pokey and ring around the rosy with the pans till all the fish is completely, you know.
And then people eat that?
Yeah, man, it's good stuff.
Hey,
I'm the master.
Hey, weird question.
Weird.
You're headed down to home. Do y'all have spade fish down there?
Yes, we do.
Do you?
Yes.
I've been noticing a lot, and it's a fish that I don't see a whole lot. And your recipe kind of reminded me of that, because that would be a perfect fish for that.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of, I don't know, how would you describe it? It's not really an oily fish.
No.
It's kind of like eating angelfish, because you said eating fish out of your aquarium.
Right.
That's actually what reminded me
exactly
of that. Was.
And it's crazy that you brought that up. I was looking and checking on my people down there at the Gulf Shores Pier in Alabama this morning.
And
they were it's not got there yet.
Oh, okay.
It's starting to, and it's a feed down there, dude. They're just slaying them down there before
the storm.
Pushing
ahead of the storm, yeah.
And they had several large spade fish they had caught this morning. I mean, I'm talking golly whoppers, you know, big as that piece of paper right there.
Yeah.
And that's a good spade. Yeah, them boys down there, if it's, you know, unless it's a really crappy fish, it's going to get ate, cuz.
I seen one of those guys eat a sailfish down there.
Some of them that do. I wouldn't do it myself.
Yeah, well, first of all, you caught one off the pier. That's pretty impressive.
But I hate to kill those fish. I mean, you know, I'm able and lucky enough to catch enough fish of a species that are really good to eat. I've never caught a sailfish. I've hooked several on the piers down there, but never was able to get them to where, you know, you could kind of say they're caught, you know, straight down, ready for the gaff, and just break them off.
I have never caught a spade fish on hook and line.
That's cool, man.
I've shot a bunch of them.
Yeah. With your spear gun?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world. Back into my scuba diving days,
right,
you drop down to the wreck, and this is, I think, in my experience, before people really were fishing for them, you know, with the jelly balls.
Right.
But you drop down to the wreck, they're very curious fish, and they come out and look at you, and pow.
And let me go to the text line real quick. We had a texter acknowledge your usefulness and for less desirable wildlife. Philip, you are a refined gentleman and a scholar. Don't tell him that.
Yeah.
And
at least on the weekend.
This one's going to Miss Sergeant Amy. Uh-huh. Bike week at Myrtle Beach certainly qualifies as wildlife management.
Yeah, there you go. What's your limit down there, right?
Oh, my gosh.
If you've never been, you must go one time during your life.
No.
It's something you'll never forget.
I don't want no part of that.
Yeah.
No.
If I want to be in a crowd of people, I'll just go to Woodruff Road.
And another one, and it was earlier, how much will a rattlesnake bite set you back? I know guys who won't go to the woods once it gets above 65 degrees.
You mean as far as medical costs?
I'm talking about, dude, I don't know, but man, it's not good, okay? That venom attacks your muscles, if I believe the type of venom they have,
yeah.
And the swelling is just unbelievable. And if you get multiple times like this man did in Anderson, and even by a small one, it doesn't really matter. And sometimes, as they discussed on the Bobby Mack show this week, the smaller ones are worse than the big ones
because they haven't learned to control the flow of the venom.
Yeah.
There you go. You heard it right here from Sergeant Amy.
From a professional.
You ever been bit by a snake, Amy?
A black snake.
Okay, that's me too. It. I was mad at him because I was my friend, and he bit me. I don't know what was up with
him. Yeah, I don't go above Highway 11 whenever the summertime comes in. That's where, I don't go up there.
That's where you can see the bears at, too.
Oh, there's lots of those now.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, we're going to go to our commercial break, and then when we come back,
we're going to turn it over to Amy.
Yeah, that's right. She got the show.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors. 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's Talk Station, where Tommy Springer no longer runs from the ladies and gentlemen in green jeans. They are now his friend. Are you kidding me? We'll be right back. Love me some Phil Collins, man. God, how many times have you almost tore your dashboard off your car doing the drum solo in the song?
Oh, yeah. Or the steering wheel.
I always think of Mike Tyson in that movie.
wait a minute. This is my favorite part.
What was that movie?
I don't know.
Hangover Weekend? The Hangover.
No, that
was it. The Hangover.
I can feel it.
I think so.
And for all my people,
Las Vegas
on the Gulf Coast,
yeah,
they gonna be feeling it in the air starting about tonight. Great stuff, Money Pitty.
And it's not even. We got till June 1st for hurricane season's here.
Yeah,
and this is Alberto.
Yeah, this is it's just a precursor. But if you're in the Upstate this weekend and between rain showers, and you want to go have a courtesy boat inspection. What's your home address, Sergeant Steele? we're just bringing through the drive-thru.
I think Blue Ridge.
We could do a drive-thru.
BR-549 yeah, that's Blue right. Ridge.
Just troll them up Highway 14, and she'll stop you if she needs to. No, seriously, if you're in York County on Lake Wylie, Ebenezer Landing, that's the one that's over there by the, what's the big restaurant, T-Bones?
Don't know.
No, That's Buster Boyd. Yeah.
Anyway.
I can't remember the name.
Ebenezer Landing, May 26th. That's today, 10 to noon. You missed it, so never mind. Tomorrow, you can go down to River Forks Boat Ramp. Where is that?
Is that the new one?
No, that's Green
Pond.
The
same one they do it every year.
Green Pond, River Forks.
I don't know.
I don't work Anderson County.
You don't?
No.
Okay, we're going to have any. Lake Robinson?
No, not Lake Robinson.
No Lake Robinson. Mm-hmm. Pickens County, you can go to 12 Mile. Hey, if you're a texter on there, I should know where River Forks is, and I probably know it is something other than River Forks.
River Forks, right.
It's like Sunshine Point. I think it is right around the corner, Sunshine Point. How about text me and let me know? I'm going brain.
It's your age, Philip.
Oh, yeah. It ain't the age so much, it's the mileage.
Yeah.
The high mileage.
Might be working with that Springer dude once a week, too.
Pickens County, 12 Mile Landing on Lake Harwell. That's going to be tomorrow, 10 to noon. And then that's about it for the Upstate on Monday. If you're down in Charleston, Wapoo Cut Landing, good luck with that, 10 to noon. Clarendon County on Lake Marion, 10 to noon at the Alex Harvin Landing. And then Lake Murray Dam on Monday from 10 to noon. So.
Oh, I just got a text in. Marty Robinson down at Lake Lima said, come on by his place. He'll give you a free inspection.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just kidding.
Of course, also, if you're in Charleston, you could just go by that bridge, right? Which bridge is it? There'll be plenty of DNR guys. And you ain't going nowhere quick. So they could, hey, could you guys check out my boat, you know, since we ain't doing nothing but sit here.
And the minnow. I think it's over the Wando River.
Okay, 526 over to Wando.
I think so.
One of the cables.
Mm-hmm.
Did it break or did they just find it frayed?
Don't know.
Again, I live in Blue Ridge. I don't know.
I just know we're pulling details down there.
Yeah.
That's
just, golly.
I don't think they're letting people across that bridge, though.
No, they're having to do lane reversals, and they're having, it's almost like running a traffic light, letting one side go and, you know, kind of making sure everybody plays.
Well, it's just a four-way stop.
Barely.
And anybody that's moved down there from up north, if it ain't a roundabout, they're clueless. Huh? Four-way stop.
What do you do? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, so officers will perform a quick and thorough inspection of the required safety equipment. And I'm not gonna quiz you on that.
Oh, I'm good.
As far as what you have to have? Here's what you do have to have.
What's the first four things you do on your inspection if you're doing one of these?
As I'm pulling up to the boat, I'm looking to see if your registration sticker is current on the outside of your boat.
Yep.
And then whenever I pull up and I introduce myself and I ask for your registration card, or I ask the captain of the boat for the registration card, and that's who I usually deal with the whole time. And then I ask him to get each piece of the safety equipment that we're looking for. So you need a wearable life jacket for everybody on board. You need a Type 4 throwable device if your boat is at least 16 feet or greater in length. And a Type 4 throwable device is not a life jacket.
Gotcha.
A lot of people like to float on those out in the water, and that's fun and that's great. But it says do not wear on back. This is not a life jacket or a personal flotation device. So that does not count as a life jacket.
So you're talking about a cushion.
A cushion
with the two straps on
exactly,
it.
Exactly, or one of the round ring buoys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not the bumpers. That doesn't count.
Pool noodle, does that count?
Nope, no pool noodles. Those don't count. So it has to be either the square seat cushion or the round one.
Cooler full of beer, does that count as a throwable flotation device?
You know, used to back whenever I was a child, the seat cushions on the actual, they would float, and that would count, but not that. That's a long time ago gone.
And back to the life jackets, you must make sure the life jacket is suitable for the person that is wearing it.
Nah, in my defense. Those youth size.
If you're 6'7", you don't pull out some kitty life jacket and show it to the DNR officer and say, "Oh, let's do."
And it has to fit your weight and your chest size.
All right. First of all, now maybe that wouldn't have got her there, but first of all, the youth size definitely would have fit my wife, and we were in less than 6 feet of water. I could stand on the bottom. Okay, so
yes,
I was within compliance.
She did fit the weight requirement for that life jacket, but not chest size.
No,
not chest size.
No.
So she would have needed to bump up.
Yeah, but so I did go. That was the very next thing I did was I didn't even know. And if you're not familiar, that's how Sergeant State and I met.
And that's why I brought it. That's
why I went
there, man.
A couple 3 years ago on Lake Robinson.
That was great.
No, on Lake Cunningham.
And he was already telling her, "Hey, I'm trolling here. You need to get out of my way." What was he thinking?
I should have known.
Let me tell you what. Here's what's going through me.
You see a 25 horsepower on one of those lakes.
Look at this big old freaking lurch-looking dum-dum over here telling me what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to
burn his tail. I think I'll just take the flare gun and send one over his head about 7 inches right now.
Yeah.
All right, then you got to, after you check the life jackets, the throwable device, if you have an enclosed gas tank or it's affixed to the floor of the boat or encapsulated in any way, you have to have a fire extinguisher, which is a good thing anyway because who wants to pick up a tank and try to throw it out of your boat when it's on fire? So whether it's required or not with your John boat or whatever, it's good practice to have one because you never know when another fellow boater is going to need one. And then you have to have a horn bell or a whistle that can be heard up to a half nautical mile. Those are also required on canoes, kayaks, paddle boards, and those little boats that you have. Pedal boats.
Yeah.
You actually have to have them on those also.
And let me interrupt you right there because I have a lot of friends who were kayak fishermen, obviously, and they're like, do I have to have a light on a kayak?
If you're at night, you do, and you can buy battery-operated ones.
And it's got to be above?
It has to be able to be seen. You have to be able to see it 360 degrees.
Okay, so there's no height requirement on the light.
Right, it just has to be visible.
It has to be visible, which means it's got to, I guess, be higher than the head of the kayaker so that you don't block it.
Whereas your case, it had to be 15 foot tall.
Right.
No, I'm sitting down.
Okay.
And you know, jet skis are the only things that are not allowed at night. It doesn't matter if you go and put those things, put lights on them, they are not allowed to run at night.
Wow.
By law. Okay. It doesn't matter if you go and buy the biggest, fanciest kit, you cannot run a jet ski at night by law.
And with that, what is night?
Official sunset to official sunrise.
Okay.
So it may be, you know, official sunset may be 8:37 and it's still good light outside.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But technically, that's the cutoff time. Now, we don't start ticketing right at the end. We'll give you a chance to try to get to your dock. We'll give you a few minutes to get there. But
unless
if you're
on a jet ski, then get them right there.
Well, you know, it's according to how close you are to your dock. If you're 2 miles away, then you're toast.
Does it bother you, and I'm not picking on them, but I think it's kind of silly, you know, with the jet skis, how some, you know, they don't have to have a lot of this stuff on that jet ski.
The only thing that they're required to have, the person operating the jet ski has to have the life jacket. It has to be worn on a jet ski. They have to have their lanyard attached. They have to have a horn, bell, or a whistle, their registration card, a valid registration on the outside of the jet ski, and a fire extinguisher.
And how old do they have to be?
Well, if they've taken the boater's education course, they can be as young as 10 or 12.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, that we ask parents to use common sense.
Well, they do that in the school system, too.
Yeah. How's that working out for
not
you?
Not too good.
But if they're at least the age of 16 and older, then they're, you know, it's kind of free reign because boater's education is only required for those under the age of 16.
I will say this in defense of jet skiers. I don't see the problems with jet skis now like I used to maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Usually it's at the beginning of the season whenever they're getting them out for the first time and they're getting out there cutting up, playing. You know, as long as they maintain a safe distance and, you know, they do not leave the water, they cannot physically take that jet ski all the way up out of the water because
they can't
you
jump
lose,
wakes.
Exactly, you lose control.
Oh.
As long as they do not, you know, bring themselves all the way up out of the water, you know, they can go out there and play, find them a little safe area where they're mm-hmm. safe distance away from buoy docks and, you know, other boats and all of that. They can go and play, but they usually want to get right in the middle of everybody because they want the wakes. They want to be able to jump them, and that's unfortunately, that's an illegal.
And that's not so much the kids that it is the 40-year-old adolescents that I see.
There's some of those. And a lot of times we run across, you know, these kids and adult adolescents will have these really cool-looking life jackets on.
Yep.
And you're like, wow, that thing is neat-looking. And then when we check it, it's not U.S. Coast Guard approved.
Wow, it looks pretty, but it ain't worth poo-poo.
That's right. So every life jacket that you put on your body or your children's body has to be U.S. Coast Guard approved.
Okay.
That's excellent.
So that could be an inflatable.
It can, and it's according to what type it is.
Yep.
You know, there's a type 3 and there's a type 5. The best thing to do is to look on the inside of your label, and it'll tell you must wear in order to count as a life-saving device.
There you go. Well, let's go and pay
That's
some bills.
Info.
And then when we come back, we'll have more riveting conversation with our buddy, Mrs. Green Jean, Sergeant Amy Stateman. Stating with DNR.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Money Penny tuning up the Thin Lizzy. Chinatown, get you some. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We're in the studio today with our buddy, Sergeant Amy Staten. She is with South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, Law Enforcement. And we got a great text in from Texter. It says, I can't say.
I'm sorry, my mic. Why doesn't DNR get paid more, Miss Amy?
She's like, I got the same question.
Can I answer this for her?
Yeah, you
I refuse
answer.
To answer that question on the grounds it may incriminate me.
No, I'll answer that question.
Do that.
They don't get paid more for the same reason that teachers don't get paid more. They're taken advantage of, and people just assume public service is, you know.
Bingo.
Taken care of. Meanwhile, all the other crap that the state budget goes for.
Straight through Hugh Lefner's crummy, sealy, nasty hands.
Yep.
So in Columbia. Yeah.
So we won't get into that.
We need to take him on a snipe hunt tonight.
I agree. I think for this. Well, I mean, I think all law enforcement.
Period.
You couldn't pay me to do that job. Yeah. Be honest with you, especially nowadays when you put that gun and badge on, you might as well be putting a target on your back.
Right.
Well, I can say it's a lot better than it used to be, but you know we do have a lot of duties, and we perform a lot of different roles that people really don't understand until the state goes into a natural disaster mode or, you know, like a big event weekend or anything like that. But the only thing that I can say is, you know, if we have any supporters out there, just talk to your legislators, talk to your senators, and just tell them how much you appreciate us and what you think we're worth. I mean, that's the only thing that, you know, all of our funds are set by their state dollars. A lot of them are appropriated. Hunting license, fishing license, boating registrations. You know, people are like, oh my gosh, why is a ticket for a fishing license 160 to 1,093? Well, that pays a lot of our salaries.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And so, you know, go out, support us, buy hunting, fishing license, register your boat, and, you know.
I'm not speaking for all legislators, but there is or has been a mindset among legislators that if you guys want more revenue, then go write more tickets.
It doesn't work that way.
And that's also, well, then, you know, when you become instant bad guys, and then they're like, why does law enforcement have such a bad PR, you know, with the public? Well, it's because, you're saying the only way we can get any funds is by, you know, charging these people.
Right.
And that's actually a myth. And I'll be honest with you, out of a $160 ticket, which is the minimum that we can write on a fishing license violation or a hunting license violation, we get about $25 from that.
Wow.
The rest of it is court cost and different other pots throughout the system. But I can tell you, if you go buy a $10 fishing license, we also get about $25. So we would much rather sell a fishing license and keep a hunter, a fisherman, and, you know, you taking your kids out to keep that going and for the future, and that helps sustain our department.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that's overshadowed, too, especially during hunting season, when a DNR officer comes up on an individual, he has got a weapon on him. Yeah. He is hunting, you know? I mean, there's no doubt that he has a weapon.
Hey, but you got to remember, it doesn't matter if you're hunting or fishing. You can have a weapon during those times for, you know, for protection against some type of critter or snake or what
jet ski.
But with the hunters, you know.
Can you have a paintball gun?
But when you're approaching hunters, Sergeant Amy, you know that they have weapons.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
So, you know.
And I will say that, you know, 95% of all the people that we run into hunting, fishing, boating, just out recreating, they're good people.
Absolutely.
Because they could take us out at any time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because they are allowed to carry weapons while they're out recreating.
Right.
And but 95% of the people that are good people and they're supporters, they don't like it when we give them tickets, but most of the time if you treat them fairly, they'll say thank you when you walk away.
And just out of curiosity, what's the ticket for violating a no wake zone?
I believe it starts at 110.
It starts at 110? I thought it was like $25.
Well, that's what we get from it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, the fine is actually 110, but DNR's part's about $25.
Well, there you go.
Well.
I'm not going to talk about that.
You are one of those feller DNR
I'm
officers.
I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, okay. Don't talk about that.
I got a
But under the circumstances,
I did get a warning last week.
It was an emergency situation.
I did get a warning last week.
It was an emergency
for
situation.
Violating a no-wake zone.
Yeah.
You know... And it's just like any these outdoor celebrities. They should be setting the example, not doing that. But
dude, but it was crisis. There was crisis going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
where your River Forks boat ramp is off Dobbins Bridge Road.
Wait, hang on. Let me put my glasses on. Oh, off Dobbins Bridge Road.
Off 187.
Off 187
well,
there
you go.
South.
Near Villager Store.
Whoever sent that to you, Sergeant
Okay, that's Sunshine Point.
Okay.
That is exactly what it is. That's Sunshine Point.
Well, that's compliments of Sergeant Rhett Barwick.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarge.
Down in.
Anderson. Yep, he's the first sergeant over at Anderson Abbeville.
Upstate yeah. Outdoors salute you.
Yeah, there you go. I knew one of them people would know.
Yeah.
So I wonder why they picked that location.
I don't know.
I guess because, I mean, I think they're closing down. I was talking to Matt Shell with Anderson County Parks and Recreation, and they are going to close down Green Pond, at least the tournament side of it, so that they can put in more stuff. And they're also working on the roads going down there to Green Pond.
I don't know how big this landing is, but a lot of times they pick them where they have room.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you're busy with a boat and you're going through the voluntary inspection, you know, you don't want to block up the ramp. You
right.
don't want to block up people getting in and getting out. So is it pretty roomy down there?
Man, I had been down there in years.
Yeah.
In years and years. I would think, well, they're clearing out. They're clearing out and making more parking space room at Broyles Landing. So
he said it's not Sunshine Point. He said that's another one.
Okay. Well.
This guy right here knows what he's talking about.
I know where Port Michelle's Marine is. Yeah.
That's right.
We're radio talk show hosts. Yeah.
If you want to know where Port Michelle's Marine is, just look for the smoke, right?
Woo. Now, well, we ain't got time. Never mind.
Okay. Well, since we don't have time, let's go to our commercial break. And then when we come back, Springer's going to jump into the calendar of events. We'll have a couple of words with Amy State before we leave. And then we'll jump into our parting shot.
Oh! Oh! Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Where the werewolves of Upstate are here. Be right back.
I tell you what, we got a mind reader for a producer.
She's the greatest of all,
yeah.
Man.
Hey, can we go out with that one too? All right. that'll be good.
She said you are number one, Phil.
Yeah, number one.
Okay.
Text me. Yeah, that'll go along with our parting shot. But first, it's time for Springer to mumble through the calendar of events.
And I'm just going to reiterate what we were talking about early. May 27th, that would be Sunday, Anderson County, River Forks Boat Ramp, Lake Carmel.
And we all know where that is now.
2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Now, these are your courtesy boat inspections. Fairfield County, Watery State Park, Lake Watery, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And in Pickens County at 12 Mile, Lake Hartwell, 10 a.m. to noon. And that's going to be your
none of them are on Lake Kiwi.
No, not this time.
That I would figure that would be. I mean, I don't schedule that stuff. One thing I do want to point out about that is if the officers do find you in violation of something,
are
not going to write you a ticket. They're going to give you a chance to go make it right. Now, if they catch you later on the lake, then bets are off.
It's your own fault for being stupid.
You's warned.
Yes, indeed. All right, we got right down the road, we got a Capello's Hometown Hero Weekend. All right, that's today and tomorrow, starting at 11 a.m. both days. Police, EMT, firefighters, veterans, and military personnel will be getting special discounts on whatever their purchases are. Join Capello's to celebrate all they do for our community. And also, Philip told me that they've got a pond located inside Capello's this weekend.
Yeah, I was in there. I was actually in there ordering some spray-on stuff for your rain suit.
Right.
Because my rain suit's lost its, I guess it's got low T. You know, so I was looking for some stuff to spray on it to make it stiffer.
Right.
And so they were putting a pond up, and then I got some talk with JD down
right.
there, and he's like, man, we had a leak, and they were putting largemouth bass and stripers in it. I'm going to go. I got to go pick up my spray for
where
my
they got
rain
it located
gear.
In the store?
Right there in front of the aquarium.
Wow.
So, your dream comes true, man. You can go in there and fish in a dadgum Cabela's.
And do a cannonball in the aquarium.
And do, yeah. I don't know about that. But it's only,
okay.
You know,
right.
It looks like that fishing pond.
That we see every year at the expo.
At the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic.
And
I even told him, I said, y'all need to put catfish in there because you can get a catfish to bite.
Right. On
but,
one of those little Berkeley.
Either that or just use some big treble hooks. You can get the rest of them.
I hear you. And speaking of the Clinton House also, May 31st, shoot and dine, Philip Gentry. $45
yep.
for 50 targets. And dinner. Dinner tickets can be purchased for $25 if you don't want to shoot. And to get those, an email, RSVP Mike at the ClintonHouse.net. All one word there. And the rodeo that was going to take place this weekend, the fishing rodeo at Chapman's Pond that was sponsored by the Spartanburg chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation and Cannon's Campground Ruerton Club, has been postponed till next week. That will be June the 2nd at Chapman's Pond. No charge. Prizes for everyone. Free refreshments. Bring your own fishing gear and bait. And we appreciate all the fine folks that do those kind of things for the youngsters in our community. And that's all I got. Everything else got canceled.
And I was going to point that out as, you know, that's another thing that DNR does is
they'll
put on those fishing rodeos, yes, and there'll be a bunch of game wardens out there with the biggest smiles on their faces helping kids catch fish and all. And that right there ought to be a reason that they get a pay raise.
Absolutely.
Right there. You ever been to one of fishing rodeos?
Yes, we had two this year. We had one at Lake Cooley, and we had one at Camp Croft.
Yeah. Lake Craig or Lake Johnson?
We did Lake Craig, actually, in the state
big
park.
One. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Did y'all catch anything?
I caught a few, Bram.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Be on the lookout for a calendar of events next week, because that's all I got. I got there's nothing.
I got to help Springer out.
Well, I mean, you know, that no QDMAs, no NWTF, and we've told you people out there 1,000 times, send us to our Facebook page as a message.
Do Springer's job for him because he don't like to look on the internet for stuff.
I'm John Boy. I'll just be John Boy on the radio. Yeah. You send email. Email anybody but me, okay?
Facebook.
Go ahead, Phillip.
Upstate Outdoors /WRD. You can put it on our Facebook page, even though sometimes I think folks have trouble. But you can message us, or you could T Springer at intercom with an E, intercom.com.
Yes, you can.
And we really do, and we really want to help you promote your charitable stuff.
It's one of the perks of doing this show.
If you're a business, then call the folks downstairs and pay for it,
right,
like you're supposed to. But in the meantime, it's time.
Ooh, yeah. We love us some Skinner on this show, Miss Amy.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Do not mess with a rancher in Montana.
No.
Okay? Because they are some bad.
That's why there's
bad,
no.
Bad is in 70s. Right. Bad. Man, he's bad. He's a bad mother. Hush your mouth.
That's why there ain't no Bigfoots in Montana. They don't kill them
apparently
all.
Apparently there's no werewolves in Montana either. I actually got this out of the New York Post, nypost.com, where a Montana rancher killed a mysterious werewolf-type creature. A mysterious wolf-like creature was shot dead by a rancher in rural Montana, and even wildlife officials have no clue what the thing is, authorities said on Friday. The beast had oddly long gray fur, oversized claws, and an extra-large head, but its ears were too big and its legs are too short to be a common wolf or dog. Now, according to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks officials, we will have no idea what this is until we get a DNA report back, said Bruce Oshley of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. He told the Great Falls Tribune, the strange discovery was made May 16th by a man who shot the canine because it tried to chow down on his livestock in the tiny town of Denton, officials said in a press release. The rancher called the authorities to report that he'd killed a wolf, but authorities soon learned it was something stranger. Stay off the moors. The critter's canine teeth and front paws were too short to be a wolf, and its big floppy ears and shaggy fur were nothing like a common canine, officials said. True believers took to Twitter to howl over what the Franken dog could be. Theories include a dire wolf, an extinct saber-toothed canine that once roamed North America, and even a real-life werewolf.
Wow.
Right? Because there was like this really hot chick and this really goofy-looking vampire hanging out with it. We hope that they used a silver bullet. We'd hate to be there when it woke up, wrote All Things Haunt, referencing the only weapon used to kill the werewolves in folklore. Pretty sure they shot a werewolf or Bigfoot's baby in Montana, added photographer somebody. Others guess that the beast is a shunk of warrican.
You know, all that information, I'm finally getting a little grasp on what my German Shepherds actually mixed with that bit me on the leg a couple weeks ago.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Springer. Springer's the, How are you feeling?
I'm.
When's the next full moon?
Okay, I'm fine.
He's not a werewolf. He's a natty wolf. The North American Dogman Project, a group of researchers that track sightings of mysterious wolf-like creatures, posted a photo of the animal on its Twitter page. And, you know, people just had a good time with this, and it's probably some kind of...
And then a text just come in and said, that Springer Sampson fox. I looked at it. I kind of thought it might be in a Sampson fox, but it's not. It's a little more heavy duty and more muscular than the one my mom caught in her backyard in Lower Alabama. Seriously, no
That
kid.
Was something with mange. That thing looked rough.
Yeah.
Well,
that's about it.
We just never know. So want to thank our guest, Jack Vitek from the IGFA, and also Sergeant Green Jeans, Mrs. Green Jeans, Amy Staten, for being in the studio with us again. And for all of you veterans out there and service members, thank you for your service on this Memorial Day weekend. Springer, take us home, brother.
And all those who never made it home and sacrificed it all, we bless and blessed to be alive and do this show for you every Saturday. God bless. Get outside.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.